May be seated.
Amen.
After a brief hiatus for the holiday season, now we move back to our discourse. Take your document out, and hopefully you didn't leave home without it, and there should be some in the back, at least some excerpts. Repeat after me: scriptural distinctions,
scriptural distinction,
actualization in eternity,
actualization in eternity,
for manifestation in time. So we're in volume 2. Let's go take your documents, and for those that are watching, amen, are listening via our webcast, go to either our audio or video sector and you will find this document in its entirety. Just click on the icon. Let's go to page 9. This is where we had briefly landed before we moved into the holidays. Also, take your Bibles. Let's go back where we were before, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. And then I'm going to bring in as a sidebar this morning. I'm going to bring in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. As we move forward. And our focus now and for the next several outings or months is going to be in relativism. Everybody say relativism.
Relativism.
In this sector, in verse 9, in scripture ontology. What is ontology? It is the study of existence. It deals with how things have come into being, how and why things exist. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it conveys to us that all things were created. What?
In him.
And that's whether they are thorns or whether they are principalities, or whether they are visible and invisible, whatever they are.
Whatever.
All things. Everybody say all things. In him, through him, and they have been created for him. Everybody say,
in him,
through him,
for him.
And so everything relates to God. And they only relate to us as they relate to God. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 speaks to the end that none of us live to ourselves, and none of us die to ourselves. If we're living, we're living as we will be relating to God. And when we die, absolutely. Not if, when. Speaking of physical death, Greek word thanatos, which draws its main inference, separation. When we separate, it is to the Lord. That relates to him, even death. Now, many of us, we have no problem with that second part, death. But Some of us seem to think that life is about relating to us. To Him. Not about us. Now, when you're into these type subjects, it seems to be a strain on the brain for many. And much of the ministry has bought into that. Because after all, you know, as you look at these subject matters, the first thing that comes to mind is it's insipid. Oh, everybody say insipid. All right. That means dull, uninteresting. In other words, if I'm completely focusing on God and away from me, that's not too interesting. You know the syndrome. What's in this for me?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Word of God, as it is brought out in the mystery writings. What are the mystery writings? That is the volume of truth that God revealed to Paul, that was hid from generations and is now given to the Grace Church. It is a superior message that is conveyed through eternal viewing. Everybody say eternal viewing.
Eternal viewing.
What is eternal viewing? That is our view of focus from the essence of who God is. Even when we're looking at so-called life, what we call life, what's going on around us, that's not really life. But amen. We'll look at that as it relates to God. Again, everybody say relativism. And here, as we speak of life or existence, to get the eternal view, we have to draw from the essence of God speaking and conveying this knowledge to us from the Scriptures. Came across something last night that came to me. I want you to turn 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 as a sidebar. Let's go to the sidebar. We're focusing primarily 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. But I think I'll hit the sidebar first. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. In this passage, Paul says some very striking things. And I love the climax of the chapter, the crescendo of it, how it ends up speaking about the fact that the focus is not on the visible, but the invisible. Not on the seen, but the unseen. And of course, many of the ministry won't go there because they're worrying about the. We're serving spiritual food, but we don't want it to be insipid, tasteless. Huh? We want to put a taste in your mouth that's going to inspire you. well, this pastor doesn't want to be dull. Uninterested. But as we receive this message and the Holy Spirit conveys it to your heart, it is anything but dull. Because it hits, as it relates to life and existence, it hits the nail right on the head. As the saying goes, it gets to the nitty gritty. It speaks about what it is rather than what it looks like. What it seems like. In that fourth chapter, Paul said, we have this ministry, and as we have received it, we're not going to get tired. We're not going to faint. It causes us to not be illusional. And so we have renounced the things that aren't. King James, I think they said things of dishonesty. What Paul is saying, things that you see and you think what you see is what you see and what it's not what you see. Amen. When we say something is dishonest, we said what? That's not the real deal. Not real. And so he said, it causes us not to walk in craftiness. And so now we don't have to bend the word of God. And everything is like it is. Because we're relating to God and not ourselves.
Amen. Yes.
And if this gospel is here, it's to those that God hasn't given it to. And get to verse 6, you'll see what we're talking about. Whom the God of this world, and of course there is contention among the different theologians that expressing God of this world is saying, would say, oh, another place, God, he's the one that blinds the eye. But either way, this thing is an allocation. Right. Follow me, I'm just going to talk to you this morning.
That's right.
Hopefully nobody tires and because we are talking about the unseen. But the things that are before us do not quantitate nor qualify what is. Actually, what is isn't, and what seems not to be is, as it relates to existence. And so that the thing that we see, we can't count on it. I thank God. I mean, what is it that we see? You turn on the news and what do you get? Huh? You get a full menu of chaos, destruction, and impending destruction. Thank God that when we draw from the well of eternality, and we draw from the well of what is everlasting, and when we draw from the well of what's enduring, it is not from that venue or arena. It is strictly from the Word of God of what He is conveying to us. Now, when you look at verse 5, there is first thing Paul makes very clear. Say, we're not going to teach or preach or proclaim ourselves. That's when you get into this message, the first thing that goes out the window is you.
You.
Amen. I mean. Humanity. Because as soon as you say humanity, you got to say depravity.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is vain, worthlessness.
Yeah. Amen.
So he said, we don't preach ourselves. And you know, that's a good gauge.
Mm-hmm.
The minister is up and he's preaching about himself. Uh oh.
Mm-hmm.
Herself. Uh oh. If he's magnifying humanity, oh boy. Because when you say humanity, you're bound to be talking about depravity. As the third chapter of Romans speaks, none seeketh him, and oh, what an indictment. And after reading that, that's what we're going to stand up here and talk about? No. We want the essence of what life really is. So that we are not laden with trepidation, but we are relieved in triumph. Celebration of what God has already accomplished for us. And so this is why each week we come here, we're going to relate to God.
I hear you. Amen.
And if that's boring to anyone, we're going to pray for you.
Amen.
Because God's word is anything but boring. To read verse 6 first in the King James. Everybody got 2 Corinthians. I'm going to take my time this morning. Chapter 4, verse 6. We talk about relativism. Everybody say relativism.
Relativism.
Read
2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with the 6th verse.
Mm-hmm.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Where all of this deep stuff come from? I want you to read. What did the Lord say to Peter? He said, Peter, who do you say I am?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, that's what some were saying. He said, Peter, what do you say?
Mm-hmm.
And Peter gave the correct answer. He said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. We're not interested this morning in the commentary of flesh and blood.
I hear you.
Even though we respect everybody's opinion, and I read the paper, and not the paper, but I go through the internet each day and the news and so forth and so on. And that's secondary.
Secondary, yeah, secondary.
When I want some inspiration,
mm-hmm.
I'm into the book.
Mm-hmm.
When I want some guidance, I'm into the book. When I want some assurance, confidence
come on.
In the book. Joy in the book. Peace in the book. You understand?
Hallelujah, man.
Yes. I'll read that 6th verse from the Greek. And you know, when you're reading that, anything that's in parenthesis omitted. No, I'm just saying this, you know, it's because we want the utterance. Before we can explicate, we have to get the actual utterance. And for those that are watching, amen, if you don't have the Greek interlineum, and we've expressed many times why we do that, then follow along in your translation. You'll be close, but there's certain things that we want to redact.
2 Corinthians chapter 4:6 verse in the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, the saying, out of darkness light shall shine. Who shone?
Stop. You see that word saying there? Out of the decree, out of the depression. Epong. Out of what has been ordered, light flows. What is light? Well, to actually appreciate light, you have to know what darkness is. What is darkness? Nothing. What is light? Something. And it's traced back to the saying. And so we have to see life based upon relating to God's saying. Life is about what God has said. Y'all don't hear me this morning. That's why we spend the time and really want to get down to actualization, which is the only reality, into the Word of God, which we solely depend upon. Now, if what you see aligns with what God has said, then you got something going for you. If it clashes, conflict, one of them has to go.
Amen.
And it should be what you see.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because what God has said is the actual essence, what things are.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes things are pretty tough in life. They come really hard. Things that we would rather not see
mm-hmm.
happen,
mm-hmm.
unmanifest.
Amen.
Problems that we would rather not confront.
Thank you, Jesus.
But as we move through and we see this, that the light has come to reveal in manifestation what you see, but don't stop there. Don't just look at it, look through it.
Yes. Amen. Come on here.
When you're looking at it, all you see is the process. When you look through it, you're looking through the process at the purpose. And the purpose is the essence of why that thing is there. God's purpose. Everybody say God's purpose.
God's purpose.
Elder Reed.
Verse 6. Because God, the saying, out of darkness light shall shine,
mm-hmm.
who shone in the hearts
see,
of
stop,
us.
Stop. Who? Os. What's the origination of the light? What's the source of the light? Say, who? Doesn't. Do we need to answer that? Huh? Read.
Hammers. Who shone in the hearts of us for enlightenment.
Stop. Enlightenment of what?
Of the knowledge.
Knowledge. Stop. Enlightenment for knowledge. Why have we come together this morning? Why do we come together weekly? What's the purpose? Yes, to pray. Yes, to sing the songs of adoration to our Lord. But we dare not ever leave here without some enlightenment of knowledge.
I hear you.
And go out there unprepared. To come together and not receive the enlightenment of knowledge and then go out there. Well, life is just waiting to beat you up.
I hear you.
This is why the majority of this service anyway, in this assembly, in this ministry, shall be the word to preach it. I remember some time ago, this is some years ago, pastor was bragging to me about what a good time they had at their church. Previous Sunday. The man's spirit was so high I couldn't preach. That would never happen here. Not as long as I'm pastor. Now, nobody loves the singing and shout. You've seen me shout. But man, I'm telling you, I'd get up and blow a whistle. Stop. Amen. Remember the children of Israel as they went across the Red Sea? Got on the other side with them, Miriam and them, the sisters, they got the tamarines. They had church, didn't they? They had a jubilee, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
3 days! I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm surprised they gave God 3 days. I'm surprised they lasted that long. Sandwich. You know what an air sandwich is? That's when you don't have, you wish you had some food and you don't have it. 3 days. They forgot all about that part of the Red Sea. They forgot all about they went across and didn't even get their feet muddy. They forgot all about it. Oh, God, we have to get rooted and grounded and stabilized in the seeing so that we are not disillusioned by the seeing. See a whole lot of things out there. You see, each week we see a whole lot of things. And most of it, you're going to have to disregard. You know, the impending destruction. You know why we had the polar vortex? Remember a couple years back when we had the earthquake, was that in Haiti? It was so strong, they said, moved axis of the earth. It doesn't take much. Do you know, and this is why we all should look at the purpose of God and see that. It doesn't take much to throw the earth off axis and we're all destroyed. Any further away, we freeze. Any closer, we burn up. A little bit. And see, the polar vortex is there constantly. But if there's any type of interruption, anything that throws it off just a little bit, just a piece of it spun off, and you see what it did to us for about 3 or 4 days, right? Just, it was just a little bit. And so, There are many things out there that thrill us. And most of us think that the only thing that's thrilling us is losing a job. And that's impactful. Losing a loved one, that's impactful. Losing relationships, that's very impactful. The greatest danger and detriment we don't have to worry about, it has nothing to do with us.
Amen.
The greatest danger is being separated from the love of God. And Paul gives a litany of things in the 8th chapter of Romans. And then when he couldn't think of anything else, he said, "Now, any other in creation can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus." That's something we don't even have to go there because we don't have to worry about that. What am I giving him a praise this morning?
Glory. Glory.
Everybody say, "I'm safe."
I'm safe.
Even if the whole thing came down, be safe. Asteroid, a comet, hit the earth. You're safe. The sun disappear. You're safe. Oh, Pastor, come on now. You're getting way out there. Did you get enough sleep last night? Yes, I did. You know, that's what salvation means.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have a magnificent benefit, and most of God's people can't appreciate it because we don't know what it actually means.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the benefits of deliverance. Sozo means delivered. And it has the connotation of permanency of deliverance, which means that we're safe. Everybody say, "I'm safe."
I'm safe.
Say, "I'm secure."
I'm secure.
From all along.
So
as I watch and I see, I know that ultimately that doesn't define who I am, where I am,
all right now,
where I'm going, and what my status and state is.
Yes. Yes.
All of that, when I relate to God, is in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Through Him and what? For Him. And we have the confidence. Finish that up, Elder.
Out of darkness, light shall shine. Who shone in the hearts of us for enlightenment of the knowledge of the glory of God in face of Christ.
In the face of Christ. Look at that word there. Translate face. We have the Greek word there, prosopro. What does pro mean?
Before.
A standing, and Paul uses that, derivative of that, when he speaks in Corinthians about we look through a glass darkly. That is now. But then, that is in glorified form, what?
Mm-hmm.
Before Him. Here, God has given us this knowledge so that we can enjoy the privileges of standing before Him now. Not as the heathen who stands in dread before his God because he's concerned that he hasn't pleased Him. Our gospel lets us know that there's no way we can please Him.
Hallelujah.
We haven't. But what he has done through unmerited favor puts us in a position that he is pleased even though we didn't please him.
Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We didn't please him. So we don't have to even go there, do we? Huh? Now, yes, I want to, and as the Lord gives us information and so forth, yes, it is our desire. Our desire is to please the Lord. That's the enemy. And in the eternal form, I have. Through the grace of God. Else he would not have put me in him in eternity. Because it tells me that he was pleased. In Ephesians. Doesn't it tell us that God was pleased? He did it and it pleased him to do it. So we don't even have to go there. Now this knowledge has been given to us. For us to have this understanding. This enlightenment. This information is available so we can relax.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Look what he's saying here. Enlightenment of the knowledge of the glory. Whose glory? God's glory. And we are in him. And so now, as we relate to him in relativism and focus, it's always a matter of him and not us. Everybody saw it. I remember some years ago when Liberman coined that. She didn't copyright it, so we use it. Everybody say it's all about him.
It's all about him.
Not just about him, it's all about him. Relativism. So we come here each week when we stand here, it's to talk about him.
Yeah.
And what he has done and what he has accomplished and what he is about. And only what we're about as we are in him. And then when we get through talking about him, what? It's time to go home. And when you walk out the door and you face the encounters of the week, the challenges of the week, the contentions of the week.
Yes.
And that thing that you had no idea was in that frame. And when you get to that frame, it's about seeing through it.
Mm-hmm. Man. Man.
The purpose of God.
Hallelujah.
Remember, all things are what? In him. What?
Through him.
What?
For him.
God has use for it. Now look, that's what light is. That light is, God has given us, he has given us this illumination. And remember, back in one of those verses, he said everyone doesn't have that. And blind. Absence of light. That's what blindness is. It's the absence of light. And what do you have? You have nothing. And so we are, as humans, we get all excited about nothing. Some of us get a communication through the mail and just ruin a whole day, a whole week. Somebody said. No! This is about having information so that your day isn't messed up because of something you encounter. Call this in testimonial sequence depictions. You're going to have encounters.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You're going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have situations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's something out there waiting on you. But this light causes you to shine right through it.
Amen. Glory to Jesus.
And see that God has a purpose for it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's what he's saying. Didn't he just say it? Why? Can you view the situation in the face of God? In the face of Christ, God, Christ.
Amen.
Can you view it in the face of Christ?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
So instead of saying Christ sees, we say Christ.
I hear you.
That's what this is all about. Otherwise, stay home and then just do the best you can.
Yes.
Like everybody else, go crazy. And some of this stuff will drive you. Many of God's people are basket cases. Because we got stuff we can't deal with. No, you can't deal with any of it. It wasn't designed for you to deal with.
Oh, glory. Bring it out. Bring it out.
It was designed for you to know that what is perceived as tragedy is really triumphal in Christ. Oh, give him a praise this morning. Pastor, you're talking nonsense. And you know, when Paul was writing this stuff, a person read this and really take it, and all of the translators, they change words around because he just, this man's not making sense. What did Peter say? He said, Paul is stuff that the beat. We don't understand. And no, if you walk in the scenario of sight, this won't mean anything to you. This is about the seeing, not the seen. Didn't we just read it? That all things, that the things that appear are not from the seen, they're what?
From the seen.
That creation is according to a saying of God. So this is why we're talking about God. God said, whoa, did you see that? God. If the whole earth falls, we're safe this morning.
Yep. I hear you.
Give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to bail out.
Oh.
Let's go to page 9. I guess we won't get to our main scripture today. That's the problem with taking the sidebar, but that must have been decreed.
Amen.
I hear you.
Second paragraph, you see where it says, another widespread contention. Another widespread contentious expression, is moral relativism. Everybody say moral relativism.
Moral.
That is what is right. What is right is about what is real. If it's not real, it's not right. Which also references multiples of humans in its vision of orientation. And that's our problem. The most asinine, inconsistent thing you could do is to set you or any of mankind as the mental pole. What is the mental pole? Mental pole is the point of reference. And remember last week, or maybe the week before last, we were talking about object that's moving and changing. That's us.
Yes.
Yeah. So my feet are planted on the earth. It's moving. And even though it's locked within the gravitational pull and force of the sun is moving.
Amen.
And even though it's within the gravitational pull of the galaxy, the Milky Way is moving. The Milky Way is locked within the gravitational arrangement of the universe. The universe is moving. So, Aaron, where do we get into stationary? Go back to Colossians. All things were created what? Now you got just stability. And so now we don't have to go through all of the changes of looking at what we see in life and then relating it to the earth and then going to that change and say, well, maybe we'll get some relief with the sun, and then that doesn't happen. You say, well, maybe get some relief through the galaxy, the Milky Way, you don't get any relief. Maybe we'll get some relief looking through the universe. You don't get any relief there. Everything is moving. We can cut right through that and go straight to God. Oh, give him another praise. Follow this. Because if you don't, what do you get in mental poles? For example, what was derived by Plato? Everybody know who Plato is. The way things appear to me, and that way they exist for me. And the way things appear to you, and that way they exist for you. I mean, can you see why we all messed up? Why are we so shaky? Why the least little thing throws us off. Because existence is what I see. I lost my job. I had my furnace went out in my house. It's in the dead of winter. I know I've been there. Years ago with small children. Been there. I'm sick. I got a bad report from the doctor. Most of my reports are bad from the doctor. That is a report, but that's not the report.
The report.
I hear you.
Let me wrap up. Consequently, in this manner, having one follow this now. Why is it the world, then churches just bought into that thing and telling people, you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and this is where you're going to get out of this, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen for you. Just keep on, because you're going to this and that. I suppose that's not God's will.
I hear you.
This is why people are so confused. You pray for help. You get better, it gets worse. You pray for a raise on the job and you get fired. Now you're confused. What should you have been praying for?
God's will.
God's will. Whatever it is.
That's it. Amen.
Because ultimately we're in Him and we're safe. Follow this. Consequently, in this manner, however one sees a thing projects what is actually true for such one. That's true for me. If another sees things differently, then that is true for a different beholder. There's no separate objective truth apart from how each individual happens to see things. According to this thought, or cogitation of thinking, there is no such thing as falsehood. Now, we're in trouble, aren't we? We don't know what's up from down. Right from wrong, we don't even know what's up from down. And we can't distinguish light from darkness. Let me finish this. Such flawed ethics, credulously, that is, without evidence, just believe it, embraced by men of God's people with these professions are meaningless, since their authenticities elicit persuasion based on biased beliefs. What I think, what you think. Peculiarly, this deduces that what others believe may be valid, but regardless. And I hate this word, conventional wisdom. What is conventional wisdom? That's what the majority believe, orthodoxy. This is what qualifies and secures dependable doctrine as consensual truth. What is consensual truth? What everybody believes by the majority, that it interprets better than what is otherwise believed. And we'll stop here today. And I mean, this is why, for the most part, what is truth is not what the majority is saying,
amen,
or thinking, mm-hmm, or believing, or doing. What is dependable is not what they are counting on. No. Scripture says, our trust is in a living God. Who has designed and created all things and brought everything to existence. So God is in control. Everybody say God is in control. And so now we take all this together and we understand it. We can sing like the old hymnal, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine.
That's right.
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. What are you talking about? I'm an heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior, not all the day, but amen, forever, praising Him. Oh my God, why don't we do that for a moment? Just give Him praise. Hey! Hallelujah. I better quit. God bless you.